man. Ugh.
Yes, I would love to show up even earlier in the morning. That would be just fantastic.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Yeah, I'm screaming, shouting, whining, crying. I'm pissing and moaning.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
Because I have to do this thing called work for a living. I can't just get paid money to stay home and vote Democrat. And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Fuck you. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt your little fucking feelings? Oh my goodness, you and your fucking feelings. Your fucking feelings. Well, if you're looking for your feelings to be hurt, you're in the right place, because this right here is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. In on and destroys, absolutely fucking devastates statist motherfuckers all around the world. That's how this shit works, man. I see a fucking statist, I just launch the cruise missile, kill them, make fun of them. Especially I like to make fun of them for saying, who will build the motherfucking roads? Oh, the fucking roads. Anyway, greetings, my friends, and my enemies. I have a martini in my hand and a bunch of shit to talk about. And where the fuck did my list go? Great, I've already lost the list. There it is. Alright, stuff that's on my mind. Let me throw this out. What? Thank you. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. 10 motherfucking years of podcasting on the internet since 1999. You can find me at cynlibsoc.com, on the Twitterverse at cynlibsoc. Today is the 20th of September 2015. You can send us email at god, that's dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com. In the control room over there reminding me to do all of this stuff is the lovely and adorable Randy. And also, I'll throw out that the theme song for Stating the Obvious Podcast, which you will not be hearing on YouTube anymore, is by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album, About Face. So anyhow, I talked about this before. I'll just throw it out again. David Gilmour has a new album out, and I've been waiting for this to happen. Those of you who have listened to the podcast for a long time know I have been contemplating, should I change the theme song for Stating the Obvious Podcast, knowing that at some point my podcast on YouTube would be censored because I'm using the music David Gilmour did. And I decided not to do that. And the expected axe has finally fallen. So all of my Stating the Obvious podcast videos on YouTube are no longer available for viewing in the United States because the corporation that owns Gilmour's music has chosen to have them blocked. And I've talked about this already. I don't care. It's censorship, but it ain't. It's YouTube's house. They get to do what they want. And YouTube is part of Google. Google is a multi-billion dollar corporation. Multi-billion dollar corporations stick together. It's not a big deal. It was expected. I think, I haven't actually tested this yet, but you should be able to access the videos on YouTube using the Tor browser because it disguises where you're from. And so if it gives you an IP address that's outside the United States, then obviously you'd be able to see them. But it really doesn't matter, okay? You just fucking subscribe to the shit from the website or listen on Stitcher. As far as I know, I haven't been censored by Stitcher yet. So wherever you can find it, it's on the podcast, right? If nothing else, it's on the podcast. It's on the fucking website. I can't even talk. That's why I do a podcast, because I'm a fucking professional. Am I still on Stitcher? I haven't looked lately. I'm checking right now. Stating the Obvious. There it is. Anarchy Moment 138. YouTube Censorship, Homo Statist, and the Smartest Generation Ever. 3 days ago, 23 minutes long. I have not yet been censored over on the Stitcherverse. So there it is. We're kicking ass. We're taking names. Hold on a minute, let me look at this fucking email right here. Alright, well, you're kind of an idiot and I don't really care about you. So, go fuck yourself. Oh my God. It's gotta work tomorrow. Ah, I gotta work. I gotta remember. All right. What was the other thing I was gonna start with? Oh. Shinzen Young. The Science of Enlightenment is the name of the audiobook. It's maybe not a book, it's a series of lectures. I listened to this many, many moons ago, and damn, going back, I've started listening to it again, and it just reminds me, this guy is really good. He's got a YouTube channel too. It looks like he hasn't done a lot lately, but I downloaded a bunch of his videos. I still haven't watched them, of him giving talks. But if you're interested in meditation and related stuff, and you should be, I really recommend that you get The Science of Enlightenment by Shinzen Young. This guy's pretty fucking brilliant. So I was listening to one of the discs from that while I was out trail running this morning. Not very many cute girls, unfortunately. And he was talking about something. Well, he's talked about a lot of stuff. He was talking about something. Imagine that. Okay. We've all heard the expression, people are human beings, not human doings. And all this other shit about being. And as I've said, I used to be a person who said that kind of bullshit. Now I've come to realize that your existence isn't what matters. What matters is what you do. Now, Shinzen, and one of the great things about The Science of Enlightenment is Shinzen Young is not all mystical and shit. A lot of what he talks about is based in science and research, and he's participated in studies about meditation and monitoring brainwaves and all this other stuff. So it's not just this new age gobbledygook. Okay, and so he's talking about particles and waves. We have things like light. Light is a particle sometimes, but sometimes it's a wave. Particles are something that happen in space, right? They have this existence. Whereas waves are an action, they're an energy, they're a motion. And he makes a parallel with that with people. So you may have heard in Buddhism and other, what's the meditation traditions, there's the concept of meditating and getting rid of the ego, getting rid of the self. And in fact, the Buddhist will tell you there actually is not a self. There are only the actions, the feelings, the responses, the emotions, all of this such stuff of a person who's laboring under the assumption that they have a self, but there is not an actual self. Now, of course, a lot of statists, especially left-wing statists, love to grab a hold of this notion that there is no self, because for them, that's a justification for taking things away from people, for putting people into gulags, putting people into concentration camps, for controlling people's lives, right? Because they'll say, well, but there really is no you, so it doesn't matter. And they manage to take that concept of no ego and pervert it into collectivism, right? The left-wing statist approach is to say, well, the ego doesn't exist. You don't exist as an individual. Therefore, you exist as part of the collective. Therefore, you exist to serve the collective, which is, far as my studies, and I have actually studied Buddhism, I have read books, I have taken classes, I have listened to Zen masters talk, both in real life and on audiobook. I've taken classes taught by people. I took a class one time taught by a person who studied with the Dalai Lama. Okay. Never have I heard anybody suggest that the lack of an ego, the lack of self, can be used as a validation for the concept of collectivism in the statist, communist, socialist sense. At the same time, your left-wing wackos are the ones who will come up and say, well, dude, man, you're a human being, not a human doing, man. So, yeah, man, I'm just gonna just sit here and be, man. Because, yeah, dude, it doesn't matter what you do, man. You're a human being, man. And, like, dude, like, dude. Just like, dude, like just being, man, like, dude, you're like being one with the universe, dude, man, dude. And I have said for a long time, and will maintain for the rest of my life, that your being doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is actually what you do. It's your actions, not your existence. I mean, if you just sit in a fucking corner and take no actions, you are nothing. It is your actions. It is the things you do that create who and what you are. And of course, impact the other people around you. And of course, reveal your true self. This is why I always say, it never ever matters what people say. It only matters what they do. Because what you do, those are the only things that reflect your ego, reflect who you are, what you are in the world around you. They're the only things that affect other people. They're the only things that can change the world. Just sitting in a corner and being and smoking dope can't change the world. Doing things can change the world. So Shinzen, in talking about the ego and the self and talking about waves and particles and how something such as light can be both a wave and a particle, makes this brilliant analogy that humans, we ourselves are exactly the same. We are both waves and particles. There are times when we exist in the physical world, when we have the ego, the sense of the ego, and he will make the argument that the ego isn't really there, and I get his argument. The point is, though, he says that sometimes the ego has to manifest. He also talked about how an engineer that he knows was telling him, and this is how Shinzen got the idea, the engineer was telling him that in his engineering field, sometimes when they're looking at things and look as particles and they're trying to find a solution, it doesn't work. So they stop looking at them as particles and look at them as waves, and then they can find a solution that works. And so it's a perspective thing. And Shinzen throws out the same thing. We are particles and we are waves. We're particles in the physical sense that we have to be who we are and exist. And he makes the example of if you're driving your car, right? You have to be you. You have to be detached from the rest of the world. You have to be a separate entity. You're driving your car and you have to become that separate entity, separated from the world, and look around and make a choice. Is this where I turn left? Is this where I turn right? Do I go straight? Do I need to brake because there's somebody in front of me on the road? Do I need to slow down, speed up? So at that point, you become a particle. And trust me, he explains it much better than I do. That's why you should just go fucking get a copy of The Science of Enlightenment and listen to it. In fact, let me write this down in my show notes so I don't forget to put it in there. I don't know, but I'm sure it's available on Amazon.com. So sometimes you're a particle. Sometimes you have physical existence. Particles exist in space. Waves, on the other hand, exist in time. And waves are actions. And as Shinzen puts it, the ego, that's the particle. That's the solid thing that doesn't really exist. When you strip that away, what you have is you have a wave. And the wave is action. In the Science of Enlightenment, of course, we talk about how the actions that matter are your equanimity, your response to that which happens, the way in which you face the hardships of life, right? The way in which you take your pain and how you multiply it or choose not to multiply it. He talks extensively about when you're feeling discomforts in your body, right? You're nervous, you're nauseous, you're sick, you're whatever, about how you separate that out from your emotional response and how that decreases the fear and the reaction you have to the pain. And so his point is that when you are approaching equanimity, when you are approaching enlightenment, you leave behind your state as a particle and you move towards your state as a wave. And as a wave, what matters is time and action. And so in other words, what Shinsen Young is saying is that it's not your being that matters, it's your actions and your responses that matter. Which sounds surprisingly like something I've been saying for years. Looks like I am backed up by the Science of Enlightenment. And who knows, maybe I got that from listening to the Science of Enlightenment many years ago. But I did used to be that moron who would say, I'm a human being, man, not a human doing. Dude, yep, yeah, I used to be that fucking stupid. Oh, Jesus Christ. More fucking work. Oh, God. All right, I'll look at that later. All right, what's next on this fucking show? Where's my list? Great, I found it, I lost it. Okay. Next up. Nope, that's not it. Next up. I'd like to say that I really wanted to start off and say this was a woman thing, but in retrospect, it really isn't. I will say this, though. I think it's a left-wing statist thing. So anyhow, I just want to throw this out. I teach a lot. I teach photography and I teach WordPress. And I've noticed that the more, and I don't talk to my clients about politics usually, but it kind of crops up, and also you know based on people's professions. And so out of all the clients I've had for teaching WordPress, for teaching photography, there is this one who is the furthest, you know, leftist, liberal arts degree, fucking socialist, commie pinko. And I'm teaching her CSS. And I'm going to explain to her the difference between padding, margin, and border. And I say, so this is your padding. So what padding is, and she interrupts me, she says, I know what padding is. And I said, oh, okay, so then what's the difference between padding, margin, and border? And she goes, oh, well, I don't know. Like, great, so you're fucking, you're left wing, you're liberal arts degree, you're touchy-feely, and you want to fucking interrupt me while I'm teaching you shit and tell me you know what the fuck I'm teaching you. Well, honey, if you fucking know, why are you paying me to teach you? So left-wing statist, the first thing you need to do, okay, is you need to get The Science of Enlightenment by Shinsen Young, and you need to listen to it, and you need to reduce your ego a little fucking bit, okay? Because you need to come at this with what's called beginner's mind, okay? That's a concept in which you throw out everything you think you fucking know, and you actually learn stuff instead of trying to shove your opinion down everybody else's throat. Beginner's mind, it's really useful and important, and it will help you get places in life without having to be a fucking dickhead. Other thing about this woman is she constantly, oh my God, I've never had so much problem working with, she changes her mind. Like every fucking email from her. Well, can you make the website pink? Well, can you make the website blue? Well, can you make the corners square? Well, if you make the corners round. Well, I like the way this website works. Can you make mine look like this one? I like this website. Can you make my website look like this site? And then this website has this. Can you make mine? It's like, will you fucking make up your mind? It's like every time I get an email. Well, I like this. Can we do that? It's like, yeah, I do anything you fucking want. But at some point, you gotta stop changing everything. Just making shit up. Speaking of chicks. I can't remember if I told... So anyway, the one girl who I went out with the other night, because she's the one who texted me while I was doing the podcast. Haven't heard from her in 3 weeks. She's like, I'm all busy. It's like, oh God, you cannot be busy with that. So just throwing that out, because I came back, I talked about how I liked her, and she seemed pretty goddamn reasonable for a fucking woman. But then again, no matter how much you think, you might find one who's not a complete idiot. They're really fucking rare. Anyhow, speaking of idiot women, I can't remember if I told you guys this story or not, and I wanted to tell you this story because this is like psycho woman fucking extraordinaire. This one chick that I wouldn't say I was dating her because it never got that far. There's this one chick I was texting a while back. And anyway, the point is, we live in different cities. As I come visit me, you know, she's like, oh, I got to, it's a long way and I work a lot. I'm like, oh, God. What is it with you? And you know what else is interesting? The chick that, the most recent one, the one that I haven't had gone out with in 3 weeks because she's too busy. The one time we did go out, we're talking, and I was talking about how, yeah, you know, I'm the kind of person, it's like, I'm giving up some of the money because I like having free time, although this, I'm moving into the part of the year where I have no fucking free time. But anyhow, it's like, you know, I don't like working all the fucking time. I like having some goddamn free time. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm the same way. It's worth it to have free time and do stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, so it's been 3 fucking weeks and you have no goddamn free time, but you're going to tell me that you believe in having free time. So you're also a fucking liar. But we knew that because you have breast. All right, back to the other chick. We're doing our texting back and forth and everything. And I'm like, well, come fucking visit me and stop being an idiot. She's like, well, I got to work and all this other shit. So I'm like, well, all right, I'll come to you and have some time off because, you know, I can do shit in her city while she's not at home. I can come over, hang out, you know, spend the night. You know what I'm talking about. Go home in the morning. It's all good, man. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. She tells me, hold on, I got to turn the fan on. I'm so fucking hot that I need air circulation. She tells me, stop me if I told you this story before. She tells me, I can't make this shit up. She tells me, she cannot tell me where she lives. Because there are some people who are wanting to kill her. Now, never mind that there's this thing called the internet. Never mind she has a Facebook profile. Never mind it's really easy to find out where she works and follow her home from work. No, no, no. See, I can't know where she lives. Because only her family and a few close friends know where she lives, because there are people trying to kill her. Needless to say, I don't text this person anymore because she's fucking insane. I can't find any good men. Where are the good men? Men are such assholes. Oh my God, they're such assholes.
There's people trying to kill you.
Yes. Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay, next up, speaking of women, let's finish this off. All right. I got this from CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com, Aaron Clary's blog. And the thing is, I found the link and I saw this. I swear to God, I've seen this before. I don't remember where. This is hilarious. There'll be a link. There'll be a picture. This is at MoffittInvesting.com. It looks like what Moffitt does is they buy groups of stocks and they like package them together. So for example, this is a group of stocks called No Glass Ceilings. This is what it says. The boardroom becomes a woman's world. From high-tech giants like Yahoo, remember I talked all about Yahoo when I talked about the book about Marissa Myers and Yahoo. Did what, 3 podcasts on that? Oh yeah, Yahoo, they've really got their shit together. I still have no idea what the fuck Yahoo actually sells to make money because they don't do anything. Anyhow, here's what it says. The boardroom becomes a woman's world. From high-tech giants like Yahoo, Hewlett-Packard, and IBM, to consumer goods powerhouses like Pepsi and Campbell Soup, women are running more and more of the world's most revered companies. With the hiring of Mary Barra by General Motors in December 2013, there were 22 women CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. That's up from just one woman CEO only 16 years ago, and they're running them well. Studies by both McKinsey and Catalyst show that when more women hold senior or board positions, companies see boost in profitabilities, return on equity, and overall organizational effectiveness. Okay, so these are stocks. This is a collection of stocks in companies that are run by women. And the companies where there's more women in senior and board positions, it says right here, the companies see boost in profitability, return on equity, and overall organizational effectiveness. Okay. Here are the statistics for the No Glass Ceilings stocks as a whole. This is all of the stocks. We're going to go through them in a minute. This is all of the stocks averaged together. Their one year return is down 10.4%. Down. That's down. Down means a loss in profits. Right here it says companies see boost in profitability. I can't fucking talk. I need another drink of martini, apparently. Companies see boost in profitability. They're down 10.4% over the last year. That is not a boost in profits. That is a loss. Their 1 month return is down 6.2%, and their daily change is down 1.4%. Why is it? Why is it, I wonder, that I come on this podcast all the time and I point out that women can't do math and women should not be in charge of anything in the business place? Well, maybe because all of these companies, which we're about to go through, taken as a whole, as a stock package, down 10% over the last year, down 6% in the last month, down 1.4% in the last 24 hours. And women, and they said this, they think this is a boost in profitability. This is what I'm saying. Women can't even do basic math. They cannot distinguish a positive number from a negative number. So what are the stocks? What are these companies that have female CEOs or board members that are doing so well? Well, first of all, they're grouped. So the first group is consumer products and services. Now, consumer products and services as a subgroup is up 16.6%.
So who's in there? Pepsi, the TJX companies, I don't know what that is. The Mondelez International Inc., I don't know what that is, but it's up 24%. General Motors, GM, is down 4.3%. We got, okay, so PepsiCo is up 2.9%. The TJX is up 21%. Mondelez is up 24%. General Motors, down 4.3% with their new female CEO. Oh, no, wait, is she new? Yeah. The hiring of Barry Burns, December 10th, right? So she's doing a great job, down 4.3%. Reynolds America is up 52%. Campbell Soup is up 22%. Ross Stores, 34%. Ultra Salon Cosmetics and Fragrances is up 42%. Percent. International Speedway Corporation is down 0.2%, and HSN Inc., whatever that is up 16%. So consumer products and services run by women overall are going up pretty fantastically. I wonder why that is, because that's all shit that women buy. I mean, Ultra Salon Cosmetics, Ross Stores, Campbell Soup, Reynolds, like Reynolds Wrap, can I click on this? Is it going to tell me? Hey, let's do some research by clicking on links on the internet. It's on the internet. It must be true. Reynolds America. Oh my God. Oh, Reynolds. The people who make the cigarettes and other tobacco, cigarettes. The cigarette company is up 52%. Whoa, wait, I thought smoking was politically incorrect. Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious. That's the best performing stock. In this entire portfolio, the best performing stock is Reynolds, is cigarettes, is the evil tobacco. Again, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, starting in September, it will be illegal to smoke a cigarette or an e-cigarette outside on any property owned by the government. So, public park. You could be in the fucking wilderness area. Not another human being in sight. It is illegal to smoke a cigarette on government property. Any government property owned by the city of Fort Collins, anywhere in the city. Reynolds, up 52.6%. What's this TJX? Oh, TJX operates off-price retail stores providing apparel and home fashion products. All right, stuff that women buy is up 21%. Stuff that men buy, General Motors, down 4.3%. What is this one? Mondelez. Oh, Mondelez International manufactures and markets branded confectionery, food, and beverage products. Again, shit women buy, it's up. Campbell Soup, women buy that shit, it's up. HSN, that was me burping from martini. Do you give a shit? That's fine, you don't have to. HSN, oh, Home Shopping Network. Home Shopping Network is up 16%. Again, so these are the best performing stocks, and it's all consumer shit that women buy. Now, how are these women-run corporations doing in the other categories? Let's have a look. We have technology. IBM is down 21%. Lockheed Martin is up 19%, but Lockheed Martin is, of course, a huge defense contractor. Hewlett Packard is down 24%. General Dynamics is up 11%, also a defense contractor. Yahoo, run by Marissa Meyer, who's everybody just wants to kiss her ass because, oh, she's so pretty and she's blonde and she's a mommy. And I did 3 whole podcasts talking about the book written about her and what a dumb bitch she is. Okay, Yahoo Incorporated, run by Marissa Meyer. Oh my God, she's so precious. She's a go, you go girl. They're down 26%. And Xerox, who invented the graphical user interface, and Apple stole it from them because the executives at Xerox, who were men, they were men, were stupider than fuck. Xerox, now apparently run by women, down 22%. So when it comes to technology, we can see the women are a complete fucking failure. If it wasn't for the two corporations with motherfucking Department of Defense contracts, they'd have nothing. It's nothing but red numbers. Down 21%, down 24%, down 26%, down 22%. Women understand shopping. That's why they do really good up here in the consumer products and services. Shopping. Right? Remember, women have two compartments in their brain. One compartment is for shopping. The other compartment, they don't use. Energy and utilities. Duke Energy Core is down 0.9%. Sempera Energy is down 0.95%. Complete fucking failure. Industrial and transportation. DuPont is down 30%. American Water Works Company is up 11%. Financials. Financials. We have KeyCorp is down 3.5%. Finteras Incorporated is down 4.8%. Equity Lifestyle Properties is up 38.7%. Equity Lifestyle owns and operates resorts, cottages, and recreational lifestyle-oriented properties. Of course it would be up, because women love going on vacation. Women love going to resorts and cottages. Again, that's something a woman can understand. And then, of course, healthcare. There's something Mylan NV here, but there's no number for it. And then we have basic materials, is some company called Clearwater Paper. Let me see what Clearwater Paper is. Clearwater Paper manufactures and markets paperboard, tissues, and wood products, down 27%. I mean, there it is, man. You can follow the fucking link. It'll be in the show notes. Women running corporations. Total fucking joke. The only thing they understand is consumerism. All the companies on here that involve either Department of Defense contracts or shopping, women are good at. Anything else, complete fucking failure. The other thing, moving on, where are we at on time? Beauty, thank you. Nah, this is gonna work out just about right, thanks. All right, Donald Trump. I don't follow the elections because it's stupid, but I'm going to say this. Donald Trump is not, of course, going to make it to the presidential elections. Donald Trump is an outsider, not in the sense that he's got original views or original ideas or anything like that. He's an outsider just in the sense that he is not a politician who is a member of the Republican Party and who has a history as a politician, right? We saw what the Republican Party did to Ron Paul, who was a career politician, in order to keep him from running for president, right? We've all heard the stories about at the primaries about people not counting the votes for Ron Paul, the Ron Paul supporters being shut out. Yada, 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 right? The Republican Party made it very obvious that, just like when in the primaries between Hillary and Obama, Hillary got more votes, but Obama got the nomination because some of the votes for Hillary, well, they didn't count, see? Because some of those votes don't count, because that's a big part of democracy, right, is that every vote counts. The people who run the Democrat Party wanted Obama because he was the first clean, articulate black man that the Democrats had ever had in their political party. We know that because Joseph Biden said so, and Joseph Biden is the vice president of the United States. He doesn't lie. And so they wanted Obama to run for president, and that's what happened. It's saying the same thing with the Republicans. There's no way they wanted Ron Paul to be the Republican candidate. They wanted Mitzi Romney. And they got him. Choo-choo train. So we know that Donald Trump is not going to be the presidential candidate for the Republican Party. Well, I suppose he could run as an independent like Ross Perot did. If, it's a big fat if, by some miracle, Donald Trump finds a way to get into the election, I'm going to vote for him. Even though voting is violence, even though he's a statist cocksucker, I am going to vote for him for two reasons. Reason number one was the Megyn Kelly incident. Reason number two is when I read this. Appearing with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, Donald Trump was in the mood to tweak his own persona to a point. Quote, train, we know you're there. You can stop blowing the fucking whistle any goddamn time. Just fucking stop it. And everybody's going, why do you have a recording studio where the windows are open and people can hear the train and you have a fucking clock in the background that drives us crazy? Yeah. Heard it all before. Deal with it. This is like the anti... I can't... That was me choking to death on martini. This is like the anti-recording studio. Like the professionals do everything they can to soundproof the fuck out of their room, and they got mattresses on the wall and soundproofing. I opened the fucking windows and got... Anyway, it's because I'm so fucking amazing that I can do that and still be this goddamn good. Have I mentioned lately that in November, I will have been podcasting for 11 fucking years? 11 years. I have been podcasting for 11 years. When you have 11 years of podcasting, you come fucking talk to me, except the problem is when you have 11 years, I'll have 22. Suck my ball sack. All right, Donald Trump said this. Quote, I think apologizing is a great thing, but you have to be wrong. I will absolutely apologize sometime in the hopefully distant future if I'm ever wrong. Unquote. When I read that this morning, I fucking laughed for a good 5 minutes. That's it. We're done. I am voting for Donald Trump. I don't give a shit how statist he is. I don't care how corrupt he is. I don't care how bad his hair is, okay? You know, he told Megyn Kelly essentially to go fuck herself, which somebody needs to tell Megyn Kelly to go fuck herself. And yeah, I mean, here it is. I think this is one of the greatest fucking things that's ever been said in the history of the human species. I think apologizing is a great thing, but you have to be wrong. This is why, man, this is why you don't hear me fucking apologize. I have never been wrong. I fucking call faggots homostatist. I talk about how they're fucking pedophiles. I'm not going to apologize. I talk about how women can't do math, how they shouldn't be in the fucking workplace making decisions. I just presented evidence to you of what happens to corporations where women are in charge. I'm not going to fucking apologize. Women cannot fucking do math. Women don't understand how to run a business. Women understand spending money. That's all they fucking understand. It's what they're biologically programmed to do. Make babies and consume resources to keep the babies alive. Have sex with strong, dominant alpha males so their children have a good chance of living. That's why women keep dating all these men who beat them. Because you're all fucking stupid, because you're driven by your biology. I'm not going to apologize for saying it. Black people, they're on the motherfucking plantation. They are slaves to the Democrat Party. Of everybody in the United States who should be able to recognize slavery when they see it, it should be black people. And yet black people just openly embrace slavery. They just openly fucking sit there and want to be wards of the government. And no, I'm not going to fucking apologize for it. Yes, I have asserted that over 50% of homosexuals either have been molested as children sexually, or they sexually molest children, or both. Not gonna fucking apologize for it. Every member of NAMBLA, the National Organization of Man Boy Love, is a homosexual who wants to fuck small children. Do not tell me that homosexuals are not interested in having sex with small children and they're not pedophiles. They are. I'm not fucking apologizing for that because I'm not wrong. I am not wrong. I'm not wrong. If I'm ever wrong about something, I'll apologize for it. Statist. Statists are goddamn pieces of shit. Statists are people who, if natural selection were allowed to take course, would be dead. People who cannot provide their own food, statist. People who need someone else to tell them the difference between right and wrong, those are statist. People who cannot do those things for themselves in an anarcho-capitalist society would be dead. Natural selection and evolution would remove their DNA from the gene pool. People who need the government to tell them right from wrong, people who need the government to give them food stamps and welfare and all this other shit, those are people who should be dead. Not gonna apologize, because I'm not wrong. Donald Trump, speaker of wisdom. Where are we on time now? Perfect. I think I can make this work. I have a book here. Grant versus Lee, the graphic history of the Civil War's greatest rivals during the last year of the war. I appreciate the fact that the words Civil War are nowhere in the title because, of course, it was not a civil war. At no point was the Confederacy trying to take control of the United States of America. It was the Second American Revolution. We, the South, the Confederacy, left, formed our own country. The Union invaded us and said, if you don't come back, we're going to kill you. All right, now, of course, with the recent explosions about the Confederate flag, there is, of course, the whole narrative that all of you fucking Yankees have, and the scummiest Yankees, I hate all Yankees from Yankee land, but the scummiest Yankees I find are from New York City, and the other really big one is Philadelphia. I have never met anybody from the city of Philadelphia who is not a total piece of shit. Now, the whole concept behind what you fucking filthy Yankees, and I'm not going to apologize for calling you filthy fucking Yankees. Okay, what the thing you filthy fucking Yankees do is you run around and you try to talk about how you came down, like you personally came down and fought the Civil War to save black people from slavery because you care so much about black people. Well, let's examine some stuff from this book. Let's read a few things here. As soon as I can find out what I'm supposed to be reading. Yeah. By the way, reading this book, the Confederacy won most of the battles. Just saying. God, if the Confederacy just would have had food and supplies, who knows what could have happened. All right. La, 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 la. Here we go. Grant had lost 36,065 men since May the 5th. Another 14,000 had deserted or gone home when their enlistments were up. Unfortunately, there are only 12,000 replacements available. Now, I have a question. Because again, the narrative that we get from the Yankee filth. Randy. Yep, wake up, pay attention. Hey, we're going long, so don't play the closing music. The narrative you get from the filthy Yankees is that the Northerners, they all came down to free the slaves. So everybody from the South, every single person in the South was racist. Every person in the Confederate Army was fighting to defend slavery. That's why they were fighting. And all the people from the North, right, they care about the black people so much, and that's why they fought the wars. They came down here and they killed all these filthy, nasty Southerners with the gaps in their teeth and, you know, their rednecks and everything, because they were coming down to save black people, because they care about black people so much, right? For example, you can see how much Yankees care about black people. Go to Detroit, right? You'll see the fucking compassion for the black people in Detroit. Anyhow, So 36,065 men died to save these black people that all these fucking filthy Yankees care about. Now, another 14,000 men deserted or went home when their enlistments were up. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Now, if you're a filthy fucking Yankee from Philadelphia and you joined the Union Army and came down south and killed Southerners because you care about freeing black people so much, why would you desert the army? I mean, aren't you killing the Confederates because you want to free slaves? Well, why would you desert? Could it be that these 14,000 Union soldiers, could it be maybe they didn't really give a fuck about freeing the slaves? I mean, I'm serious. If you're a filthy fucking Yankee and you're listening to this, explain to me, if you goddamn fucking filthy Yankee pieces of shit care about black people so much, if you fought this war and if you died and killed to free slaves, why did 14,000 members of Grant's army desert or just go home when their enlistments ended? And of course, why were there only 12,000 replacements available? I mean, if you filthy fucking Yankees were so excited to come down and kill gap-toothed redneck Southerners to free the slaves, well, why are there only 12,000 replacements available? Have I mentioned that in the North, Abraham Lincoln had to have a draft? I mean, you do know, because, right, you guys, all you filthy fucking Yankees, you know so much. You're really goddamn smart. You do know that the first military draft in the history of the United States was implemented by Abraham Lincoln because he couldn't get enough soldiers to fight the war against the Confederacy. So now, if all of you fucking Yankee filth from New York and Philadelphia, if you care so much about coming down south and killing them rebels because they're rednecks and they got gap tooth on them, got gap tooth rednecks, if you care so much about coming down and killing them to save the slaves, why did Abraham Lincoln have to draft you? Do you think it might be because the average filthy fucking Yankee didn't really give a shit about slavery? Didn't really care about freeing the slaves? I bet you didn't know that there were many people in the North who were opposed to the war and would have been perfectly happy to let the Confederacy go its own way. You didn't know that, did you? Because you think that every person from the North, every fucking Yankee, was against slavery and they were all fighting to end slavery. And don't get me wrong, I understand. I understand that this is your way of manifesting your collective white guilt, because of course the United States of America put Japanese in concentration camps, you slaughtered the fucking American Indians, you know, you conducted the Tuskegee experiments, the Jim Crow laws, the segregation of black and white, all of that happened in the United States of America. All the slaves were brought here on ships flying the flag of the United States. And so you have a huge amount of guilt about your racism. And blaming the South for your racism, this is your way of alleviating your white guilt. But it doesn't fucking work on me because I fucking despise you. The Yankees are the only thing I despise more than statist. I fucking hate you with every ounce of my existence. Okay, let me see. I bookmarked the pages, but I got to scan real quick. Yeah, to find out what it is I'm supposed to be reading that's relevant. Oh, yeah, this is great. The William Smith's Corps had the advantage of terrain, good reconnaissance. A stream bank allowed his men to advance toward Confederate lines under partial cover, but the rebel fire piled up Union dead like cordwood. Here's as many as 7,000 casualties. Lee was Shirokoni dead behind their lines, shocked even the most senior victims. Confederate losses were about 1,500 men, while they slaughtered over 7,000 Union, because the Union generals were just really kind of fucking dumb. Now, this isn't really what I'm supposed to be reading. Where the fuck is it? Oh, Grant and Meade were slow to understand the full picture of the carnage, so they ordered the attack to continue. For the men who lived through the slaughter, this seemed ridiculous and was widely acknowledged from the corps commanders right down to the lowest private. Right, because they had shitty-ass military leadership. Grant was just drunk and stumbled his way to victory. Anyhow, now, here we go. Many also wondered if Lincoln would have received his second nomination from the Republican Party if news had been made public. As the morning progressed, there was scattered rifle and cannon fire, but for the most part, the cries of the wounded were mainly heard. The Federals could not get their fallen comrades because neither side would agree to a ceasefire. Some believed Grant's refusal to call a truce had political motivations. If word of a defeat got out, it would aid the resistance to the war in the North. Well, wait a minute. Wait. Resistance to the war in the North? But that's not possible. Everybody in the North supported the war, right? Because all of you Yankees wanted to free the slaves. Why, there was no resistance to the war in the North. It's just like everybody in the Confederate States, every single person, like even children, like a child. Like, so let's say there's a pregnant woman in the Confederacy, and she's pregnant. That's why she's a pregnant woman, right? So there's this little baby inside of her womb. That's because she's pregnant, right? And so she's standing there, and all of a sudden the baby starts wiggling, and the water comes in, and she spreads her legs apart, and the little baby falls out of her cunt. Boom, hits the floor. There's the baby on the floor. The minute that baby comes out of the womb, that baby owns slaves and it's racist. We know that every single person in the Confederacy was a slave owner who supported slavery and was a racist. And that's why it's okay to come down and kill those people. Now, of course, conversely, we know that everybody in the North is opposed to slavery. Nobody in the North ever owned a slave. George Washington, Thomas. Nobody in the North ever sold a slave. Nobody in the North ever returned runaway slaves to their owners. No, of course, every single person in the Yankee land was a non-racist, tolerant, unbigoted, multicultural, diverse, opposed to slavery, right? That's why Yankees killed all them fucking American Indians and put Japanese people in concentration camps, because they're nothing racist. They're not racist. They're so pure and virginal. So how could there have been opposition to the war in the North? This book is obviously foolish. This is obviously a lie. This cannot possibly be true. All right, I got one more bookmark here. Let me figure out what the fuck I'm supposed to read, then we're going to wrap this up. Ah, the Army of the Potomac was in bad shape, too. By early August, high casualties and expired enlistments reduced the size of the army considerably. The federal replacement system did not help. These replacements weren't exceptional soldiers. They were sullen draftees, paid substitutes and bounty hunters, poorly trained and poorly motivated. Now, wait a minute. If everybody in the North wants to come down and kill rednecks to save the slaves, well, why would they be draftees? Why would you need to draft them? Why would they be poorly motivated if they all care so much about fighting this war and freeing the slaves? Oh, that's right. Because they didn't give a fuck. And all you fucking Yankees, all you fucking Yankees walking around trying to shove all of your glory into your hatred for the South as this manifestation of how great you are because, oh, you fought the Civil War to free the slaves. I fucking despise you with every ounce of my existence. You are the truest pieces of shit that have ever walked the planet. For you to live in that much delusion, for you to live in a world where you actually believe that every single person from the South was a racist who owned slaves, and that every person in the North was a non-racist who never owned slaves, and that Abraham Lincoln fought that war over slavery, and there was nothing else involved in it, for you to be that fucking delusional. That is why, if I had a choice, if I could kill every statist or kill every Yankee, I might go for the Yankees. I hate you with every fucking ounce of my existence. I don't bother with the other side or apologize.